Welcome into Lambeau Field in the latest edition of the Packers Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com, presented by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Welcome, everybody. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with my co-host, Tom Silverstein, after the Packers moved to 2-0.
Yeah, they are the team to beat in the NFC North. 2-0, 1-1 Detroit, 1-1 Chicago.
1-1 Minnesota.
1-1 Minnesota. Yeah. Who the thunk?
You know, it maybe looked like it would be a win going away. The offense looked great for 15 minutes and 20 seconds.
Best 19-play script I've ever seen, or one of the finest 19-play scripts that you could draw up against a Mike Zimmer defense.
Yeah, I mean, Matt LaFleur rolled out, play action on the first play, 39 yards to Davante Adams. A combination of, show and run and executing all that up front, and then a beater route, and then two running backs, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones together, ran a couple different things there. A throw to Jones, it was ruled a run because it was kind of slung out behind the line. They ran that same play. Two plays later, except this time Aaron Rodgers flips it forward. It's a 15-yard touchdown to Jamal Williams, and they're off and running.
Screen pass, to Williams. Yeah, so that's what we've always heard, is they like to run different plays out of the same formations or same action and make teams, get confused that they're running the same thing. So they were very good at doing that. I thought they took advantage of matchups. Minnesota's secondary was really banged up. They were missing their two top slot corners, and they were playing with, a third-string slot and a fourth-string slot. And so they took advantage of that. And I think they did exactly what a LaFleur offense is supposed to be. They came out with tempo. They hit what was open, what the defense was giving them, and they ran the ball. And then Mike Zimmer put the kibosh on all of that after one quarter. His team played like crap, and he just made some adjustments, and that was that.
Yeah, and the Vikings got back in it, starting with a 75-yard touchdown run from Dalvin Cook. Mike Pettine pulled Kenny Clark off the field for two plays and found a seam up front. Darnell Savage Jr. found out the other guys are fast.
Oh, this guy is really, really good. Every bit is advertised. That was a heck of a run. He ran right at Savage and then put a move on him. People on the blog were saying, Savage took a bad angle. No, he didn't. He was standing right in the middle of the field, and Cook ran right at him, and he missed.
Yeah.
This guy is really good.
And coupled with the Packers' then inability offensively to capitalize and keep things going, despite a Kenny Clark sack and a strip maybe I'm confusing my possessions there, but aside from that long play, there was another long touchdown. The Packers' defense did enough. They kept giving the ball back to to the offense. I mean,
they did. I would say, they were good enough, and they caught some breaks.
Yeah.
I mean, they were lucky enough to have Kirk Cousins make one of the worst decisions that, probably of his Vikings career, which was try to fit that ball into the corner of the end zone when it's first and goal at the 9.
I think if a Vikings fan hears this, Tom, they'll probably say that, it's kind of what he does when it's crunch time.
I think
his Week 17 game against Chicago was pretty awful with that, too. But anyway,
it was
an awful decision to try to, fit a ball in over Kevin King.
And worse for the call. I mean, how many I got to look at the play-by-play sheet, but Dalvin Cook was just running right down the Packers' throats. They were exhausted.
They were. We wondered if Mike Zimmer and Kevin Stefanski / Gary Kubiak would stay committed to the run. They did, even down big. I mean, it was still 21-7 after that Cook touchdown.
Yeah.
And they did. They kept running the ball, kept running it. And as we sort of predicted, Tom, if they could make Kirk Cousins throw it, that's going to give them opportunity. Even the long touchdown throw to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
If Jair Alexander doesn't try to Willie Mays intercept it, it's just that's an easy PBU and that's not a score. So,
what was his excuse for that? Or what
he lost it in the sun, I think.
Is that what he said?
I think so. I don't know if it was that one or the 30-yard Adam Thielen. It was one of the two.
Okay.
Things like that happen, I think he said. But if you follow Jair on Twitter, he wants you to look at his man coverage.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because, they were very proud of what they did against Stephon Diggs. And the confidence is swelling in that secondary. Although, I will say this, I mean, 16 points after putting up a three spot, regardless of the fact that maybe the Vikings played into their hands a little bit, they still have to make those plays. And they didn't do it a year ago. They've done it 2 weeks in a row now, Tom. And 19 points in 3 weeks, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not. It's not. I just can't get over, it's going to be hard for me to get over that play by Cousins where
it was awful.
I'm looking at it now, Dalvin Cook, 8-yard run, Cook, 3-yard run, Madison comes in, 14-yard run, and the next play he throws the interception to Kevin King.
I don't know why they didn't hand it off there, I have no idea. Plenty of time.
Madison might have still been in the game, but
he was running hard too. He's an impressive second option for them.
Yeah, that's just a bad decision. So, I thought there were times they could have defended the run better, but all in all, they played good enough to win. And especially when your offense isn't scoring and putting you in positions where you're consistently having to defend the field. So I can't knock the defense. It was a lot of yards to give up, but points is what matters. So
yeah, I thought they, I don't think they brought Kirk Cousins down a whole bunch. Kenny Clark had a strip sack, which was important. They did move him off the spot a little bit, make him move. Kirk Cousins, clearly, if you can get him on the run or having to get off his spot.
He escaped some plays.
He did.
I mean, Fackrell had him, I thought, for a sack. Someone else had him, and he got away. He's pretty agile, pretty mobile.
Yeah, so I and maybe that's the difference, Tom. Corey Linsley was saying after the game, he's like, look, they always, especially in his time in the last 5 years, he's like, yeah, of course, we believe in our teammates, we believed in our coaches, and he's just like, maybe for whatever reason, defensively, it just didn't work, right? Mm-hmm. As an offensive player speaking. But he did say there is a different feel for those offensive guys with these defensive guys. And I think part of it, to get those turnovers, and regardless of the bad play call on offense, I didn't see this defense take advantage of it a year ago. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe that interception's dropped. Maybe, they don't actually knock the ball out of the quarterback's hand when he's running around. I don't know. I mean, at least through 2 weeks, they've done enough.
Yeah. They've beaten two really mediocre quarterbacks, and that's what you have to do. And they picked them off in the moment when they needed to at the end of the game. And so, give them credit for that. And, just like any offense, they need time to get together too. So the fact that they're playing the way they are has got to be uplifting for LaFleur. He's just got to get some consistency out of the offense now, figure out how they can finish off a game. Because that game could have been, or maybe should have been, like the Vikings game against Atlanta. You know,
it had
a chance to be 28-0.
Yeah, they definitely.
And then it's over at halftime, you know.
And that was the feel, at least initially. It did look good. I mean, you know, in terms of the urgency out of the huddle and spreading the ball around. I mean, they chose to attack, you know, a depleted Viking secondary. So last week, you know, they featured the tight ends. They felt that was something they could do. This week, no catches from the tight ends. Really, I mean, only there to help block. And now that said, whatever their issues are, they did run it. They handed off 32 times. So it was a 32 to 37 dropbacks.
Yeah.
So you go from a 33-67 imbalance to nearly 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
50-50 is crazy.
Yeah.
It's good. And they still, I think the part that if you're LaFleur or if you're a Packers fan, you were encouraged by was in that first drive that Rodgers was lights out. I mean, just playing like he was playing in an offense that he wanted to be in. And he wasn't trying to outsmart anybody. He was standing in the pocket just throwing it.
Yeah. And guys were open, too.
Just winging it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's throwing some tight window throws. There were a couple of tight window throws he made, too. But he's putting it where guys have to be, and he's getting first downs. And then all of a sudden, it bogged down again. And I thought they were not fast out of the huddle. They were letting
They did the clock slow down quite a bit, yeah.
And maybe that's because they were up 21-0, but I think that's bad. If this is who you are, then you just keep the gap, you know, the foot on the pedal.
Right.
And keep up with that quick tempo and you know, don't forget to hand it off, which they didn't do. I mean, I think they did okay with that.
The issue, so there's two things, and maybe we can't address both right now. Mm-hmm. But one, I think, when you mentioned the sort of off-script stuff, remember, this is Matt LaFleur's 18th regular season game calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's still a definite growing pain learning curve for him as just a play caller and figuring out the in-game chess match. Maybe that's a broader picture, but at least for this game, Tom, at least through 2 weeks. Okay, so a Geronimo Allison fumble in the Minnesota 30-something. They were moving. It was right after that third score.
Mm-hmm.
Consecutive first downs. Okay, three and out. They can't convert on third and one. But then you see a first and 15, second and 15, third and 18. You get a third and 16.
Yeah.
You're seeing second and 12. As I'm flipping through the play sheet here, you know, third and 10. So, I mean, when things bogged down again for them, it was either an unsuccessful first down or a penalty or something where they were just, I mean, I know it's cliche to hear behind the sticks, but at least through 2 weeks, they maybe haven't figured out how to make up for that yet.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the other thing is that they're just not that talented on offense. They just don't have playmakers. They have Adams and they have Aaron Jones. And that's it. I mean, you know, Scantling's got potential, but, you know, he should have come down with a couple of passes.
I mean, it was a great high point on that long ball. I mean, two hands on it, but you got to finish it.
Yeah, you have to finish. You know, Geronimo Allison had a 12-yard touchdown, but he averaged 6.3 yards per catch. You know, a couple of those plays, Rodgers hit him short, and Minnesota just rallied to the ball and stopped him. And one of those, you know, like Scantling kind of stopped like he was going to make a move. I mean, just take it and go. You got to go and get to the first down. And they just don't have, like, you know, a big-time athlete like Davante Adams. Even Jimmy Graham at times, when he gets the ball – and then he turns, he looks to go.
He's going
for the sticks.
Yeah.
And the rest of these guys are either not good enough or not experienced enough or just physically, you know, they're not capable of doing it. And it makes me wonder if Gutekunst is going to be on the lookout to help his wide receiver crew. I don't know who's going to be available. Maybe right. Antonio Brown in a couple of weeks. But, there's got to be just wait and see what Miami's got. They'll start unloading guys. Yeah. I don't know if they have any more wide receivers left.
That's a funny thing because they were so happy with that group coming out of camp. And, you know, Alan Lazard didn't play. You know, Darius Shepard's been inactive, although he's still not healthy yet. You know, Kumerow was on the field for those red zone plays. Mm-hmm. He ended up catching a ball, and actually I think he's a guy who catches it and turns upfield.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that, I agree with you, isn't the counter to that, that's what the system is for? Is it, the reason the scheme is here is to help guys be open.
Yes.
I mean, because clearly, they have enough talent. They have enough talent. I think Geronimo Allison has flashed enough in 3 years to say he can be your number three, catch 45 balls.
Maybe. I'm not convinced that.
Scantling caught 38 a year ago.
Yes. Valdez Scantling, to me, is their number two wide receiver.
Clearly.
And I think he's going to be really good. But right now he's bottled up potential.
Okay.
And, you know, he has to keep building up his body
yeah.
and become, I'm trying to think of what's a good example of someone like him who started out thin like that and you know, gradually got better. It's escaping my mind because I'm kind of tired. But...
you know what you mean. Yeah. But I guess that would, you know, at least for me, I think when the investment was made defensively, the investment on the offense, we said this from the very beginning, the offensive acquisition was Matt LaFleur.
Right.
Billy Turner, yes, and they drafted Elton Jenkins. We saw Elton Jenkins for the first time rotating. Now that competition's open again with Lane Taylor. But it's supposed to be the scheme.
It is. But you can only scheme so far without talent.
Right.
And so that's going to be a chicken and egg question throughout the season, is whether they have that talent. Here's what I'm going to say is Geronimo Allison is an undrafted free agent. Valdez Scantling is a sixth-round pick?
Fifth round.
Kumerow is an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, on his third team.
Darius Shepard is an undrafted free agent.
Tryout Lazar,
guy. Yeah, is an undrafted free agent.
I mean,
you can have one of those guys, two of those guys, but you can't have a whole receiving corps full of those guys.
Because even Equanimeous St. Brown is still a mid-round pick.
Yes.
If he was healthy.
Right. And so that's going to become worrisome, especially... because Jimmy Graham's old.
I was going to say, Lewis is old. You have the highest paid tight end in football, but he's not that guy anymore.
No. So I think they have a problem there. And Gutekunst has got to figure out a way to solve it.
So, and I'll be honest, Tom, I don't know what options there would be for that in season. So is the answer then what we saw in the run game? Because we were curious about it coming out of Chicago.
Yeah.
47 yards, 2.1 yards a carry. And we gave Minnesota their due respect. It's a 4-3. And Aaron Jones, 5 yards a carry.
Yep.
The thing he's done his whole career, except this time he did a career high 23 times, 115 yards, took big hits at the end of the game, still had the burst. I know there's always going to be that worry for fans and maybe a concern as objective as we look at his body type. Can he withstand that?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess until he doesn't, is that the answer? Do you? He needs to touch the ball 20 times.
Yeah, and I mean, he had four catches for 34 yards.
Yeah, almost 30 total touches.
He had 150 total yards. 27 touches is a little high. I mean, I think you want him to have about 20 carries and Williams to have about, 10.
Yeah.
That's ideal just to keep him fresh. But and eventually you'd like Dexter Williams to get involved, especially if they could get him involved in the pass game. But Aaron Jones showed he could catch the ball a little bit too. Had a chance for a really big play down the sideline. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if he could have caught that, but I think Rodgers could have thrown a better ball on him, all right?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it for sure. But it was
I don't put it this way.
It feels like that's a play that was there.
Yeah. I think he was on Kendricks or something.
Yeah, it was definitely a favorable Aaron Jones matchup for sure.
So that's something, if I'm LaFleur, I'm looking for more of that.
Yeah.
Because Jones and Adams are your two explosive guys.
Right.
And so you got to find a way to make them the, center of everything.
Yeah.
Center of your universe.
Right. And, special teams, again, Chad Beebe had a better day. Yeah, had a better day than Tariq Cohen. On the punt returns, I think J.K. Scott, after a little love the last week, kind of uneven performance. But,
He came back strong.
Came back strong. Forced a fair catch late on a big punt to make Minnesota work. And then on a sort of a strange decision, at least you and I were conversing during the game, where the head coach elected to take a longer point after try instead of a potential return.
Yeah.
Tony Brown comes around the edge, blocked a kick. I talked to Tony after the game, and he said there wasn't anything planned for that. He said the previous attempts from Dan Bailey, his edge was a little soft, and he was able to time up their thing. And he told Sean Menenga, he's like, I might be able to get one. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know if Sean got in LaFleur's ear on giving him that chance, but he's like, I definitely let him know about it. And so you get a blocked PAT. At least it wouldn't have mattered in terms of the touch. They still need a touchdown to score, but.
Yeah, my question only is, so in that situation, do you take the point off the board? Do you force them to kick a long extra point, or do you try to set up a score for your offense?
Which at that point, they could have used a good Trevor Davis return.
Yeah, they could have. There's no guarantee that was going to happen. I don't know. They probably picked the right decision because he ended up missing the extra point. Only thing is that they still needed a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah,
going to win with a field goal.
Yeah, so. If you're looking that, if worst case scenario is maybe now you're thinking the Packers could then win with a field goal but whatever. I mean,
It would have been 21. Yeah, it would have been 20. So if they give them taking the penalty on the kickoff and he hits the extra point, it's 21-17. They still need a touchdown to win. And you got a chance to get the ball at the 40, maybe, or Trevor Davis finally gets a return.
Right.
Or not, or he winds up at the 30 and it's no big deal. So, I don't know. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
What do you think about the call on the OPI, the offensive pass?
Yeah, obviously as we record this right after the game, we haven't seen what else has transpired around the league. It has to be the first touchdown taken away from replay review on a non-called OPI. Huge play in the game.
Non-challenge, too.
Under 2 minutes.
If it's not under 2 minutes, it would have been up to the Packers to challenge it.
And I think, and they never said who the OPA was on.
Dalvin Cook.
Was it Dalvin Cook?
Yes.
Okay. So I wonder if the Packers would have noticed a block sort of. Obviously you're kind of following the play.
So I'm not sure which they called it on. So Dalvin Cook came out of the backfield. He ran into B.J. Goodson.
Yeah.
Then he released, it looked to me like it was natural. He wasn't trying to pick him. But then he ran into Will Redmond. And I think Will Redmond would have been the guy who was covering
around the ball,
Diggs.
Yeah.
He would have come forward towards Diggs, who's running a crossing route. So I think that's where they
called
it.
So maybe. Maybe at that point, the way the momentum would have gone, if you're Matt LaFleur, it's right at the end of the half, early in the game. So,
it's amazing that they're looking for that.
Yeah.
That they really look fast enough and thorough enough.
Yeah.
There's a penalty.
Right, and the officials on the field had no idea because the ref left his mic on. So he as he goes in, he says, he's okay, tell me why we're stopping the game.
I didn't hear that.
So clearly the officials on the field had no idea that it happened. So big effect on the game with that OPI. And I think there were three total OPIs on the Vikings, one on Jimmy Graham.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, not another hold on Kenny Clark.
I am not that upset about these OPIs being called because receivers have been getting the better of wide receivers or of defensive backs for
years.
a long time. I mean, I think there's a reason why they put this in, and
right.
It's because these guys have been pushing off so much that, you know, you got to even the field a little bit.
Right.
Now, the second it results in 21-16 games and 16-13 games. If that becomes a trend, forget it.
Yeah,
they'll get rid of that.
The point of emphasis will go away.
Yeah, point of emphasis will be on scoring points.
So, okay, we'll hit a couple of the hot button issues. So quickly, the 4th-and-1 miscommunication.
Yeah.
You know, where the Vikings actually right before that OPI. So that did lead to points for the Vikings. You know, Aaron Rodgers, it was a quick handoff. I think he thought it was first down.
He did.
Matt LaFleur post game assumed it was fourth down because he didn't see the chains and everything going, but he says he feels he didn't communicate that clearly enough to Aaron through
the headset. Which would have been fourth down, stop.
Right.
Stop.
So
and so he, my guess is he wasn't saying anything to him.
Yeah, he probably just moved into the next play.
He's probably looking at his card, or he's got to decide, am I going for it?
He clearly decided. I think when you're in that boat, you make that decision on before the third down call.
Yeah.
You know, so it was one of those horizontal passes to Allison to get 1 yard. It was defended really well. He couldn't break the tackle. And so I think Matt LaFleur knew he was going for it. So I don't know where...
You think he was going for it?
I think so. Without a doubt.
I can't... Then that's really a dumb decision. Because I just... You got to take points there. I mean,
because it would have made it
24 to 10.
Yeah. And then in the end, it ended up 21... As we figure this out here.
No, they came back. It would have made a 24-7.
Yeah. Well, 24-7, that's right. So instead it was 21-10.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you're at the 25, 137 left, I would take the points.
Yeah.
You know, at home, with that kind of lead.
I think he was thinking he's just going to stick it in them 28-7 into half and
maybe
run out the clock, and there it is. And I guess for me, Tom, I'm not I don't mind that as much. I guess you could quibble with the actual call, the horizontal pass. I'm okay giving your playmaker a one-on-one. I think if you're them, and this goes back to our previous conversation about your receivers, I mean, you're asking him to make a one-on-one move and win 1 yard. You know,
well, I'm okay with that if it's Davante Adams.
Right.
I'm not guaranteed that's going to happen with Toronto Mel Allison.
You know, and then obviously the quick handoff to Jamal Williams, totally blown up by Linval Joseph, and that had no chance. Corey Linsley was sort of knocked over, and clearly the Vikings were ready for that.
Yeah.
So the other moment, and this was, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but it was a talking point. You know, at the end of the half, cameras over the top of Matt LaFleur's head, sees Aaron Rodgers yelling and screaming and gesticulating. And, of course, Tom, you know, that means he hates the head coach and they don't like each other.
Well.
Camera
doesn't lie.
Right. So I think post-game, didn't Aaron Rodgers say that was – I think that the head coach was just as irritated.
Well, he sort of made it seem like LaFleur came at him,
yeah,
and then he was explaining
what was happening
back.
Right.
Maybe that happened. Maybe that's their story afterwards.
Yeah.
But I don't have any problem with it. I don't have problem with, you know, quarterbacks or coaches yelling at each other.
I don't either.
The problem with that is that Rodgers has that reputation. Rodgers has a reputation of, you know, being kind of a baby about certain things. If it, you know, maybe baby's the wrong word, but being overly sensitive about right. and getting frustrated about certain things. Certain things really frustrate him, yeah. and he, you know, lets people know about it. So I don't, I think that's why it's a big deal,
right.
because he has that reputation.
Right.
If he didn't have that reputation, I don't think anybody would be making yeah. that big a deal right. out of it.
Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, I guess it's those things happen. If it is loud, the player said that, you know, it was a pretty loud atmosphere down on the field. So you get a couple guys who just, you know, punted three times, had a turnover on downs, and a fumble at the end of the half. Two very clearly frustrated, you know, head coach, play caller, quarterback. So we'll, you know, you're right, though, Tom. I mean, there's a reason people have the camera on them. The whole way, right?
Yeah.
Looking for stuff like that. So you know, here we are. Denver inexplicably somehow lost to the Bears in one of the wilder 16-14 games yeah. anyone will ever see. And you know, so they'll be coming in here. Packers 2-0.
We should talk about injuries before.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Raven Green left. He was carted off. Looked scary. It looked like they were stabilizing him. At one point,
but it turned out to be an ankle.
Right ankle. He was in a boot. The ankle was on the little wheelie cart.
That's not good.
Possible. I mean, not even. They say ankle. It could be an Achilles issue. I don't know. I didn't see what happened to him.
I didn't either.
He was way away from the ball in the secondary. It was a tackle for loss by Dean Lowry. Darnell Savage Jr.
Someone on the blog told me he got cut blocked.
So there was, yeah, it's interesting. I, for all of you out there, we appreciate the blog and the tweets. I think there were, I saw a tweet on him getting spiked, actually, on one play where he was stepped on and was sort of limping. So who knows? He dressed, he was in the locker room, and then the walking boot came really late. Like, he was one of the last guys in there.
Oh, okay.
And then he put it on to walk out.
Okay.
So, those were the two big injuries. Darius Smith missed time.
Well, Savage, you said.
Yeah, Darnell Savage. Oh,
you mentioned that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's who
it
came out,
yeah.
who was walking around, and
right.
then they got the boot for
yeah.
him? Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means, but obviously
right.
an ankle or foot or something.
Right.
Something to keep an eye on.
Excuse me. And Za'Darius Smith helped off ankle, but I think post-game he had said he was fine.
I believe he came back. Or he looked like he was ready to come back for nickel or dime. I don't know if he ever did.
Yeah, I'll be honest, recording this time, I don't have a note if he did return. But that's something to watch, just because he did roll an ankle initially in the joint practice session with Houston. So if that's...
Yeah.
Now, he never missed practice time, but you know, once you roll
out.
That thing to begin with, that just might be something now that lingers. But... Raven Green, Darnell Savage Jr. leave in walking boots. David Bakhtiari played.
Yes.
Played the whole
Made
game.
The whole
I thought,
game.
You know, maybe on some run blocks, you could see some power issues maybe with that back, but.
I don't think he got beat for a
but
sack.
But no, he was no, he very tell. Clean.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it. I don't remember who gave up the sacks. So, well, but yeah, as far as I could tell, it was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and the rotation between Lane Taylor and Elton Jenkins was interesting
yeah.
at left guard.
Yeah, after two touchdown drives, Elton Jenkins came in as part of the third one. It wasn't a two-for-two. It just
yeah.
Lane Taylor finished the half. Elton Jenkins came in, but then first and 10 from their own one, Aaron Rodgers in his own end zone, Elton Jenkins stayed in the game. So whatever kind of script they had for that, they were okay with.
Yeah, maybe it was based on plays.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, trying to get a certain amount of plays for each
right.
guy.
Corey Linsley felt that Corey Linsley says, in that situation, it's on Elton to come into the game ready to play at game speed and be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Linsley felt communication was good. he said Elton was really prepared for that, and they didn't really miss a beat.
Okay.
So we'll have to see how that plays out. Matt LaFleur basically said, yeah, Lane started, but competition everywhere.
Yeah, that's one position he's really kept open.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't heard him really say that about any other position.
Yeah, he tries to frame it as everyone's competing with everyone, but
that's the only one where there's timeshare.
Right.
But they really like Elton Jenkins. That's part of it.
Right. And I think it's really more of a trust issue. Like, we talked about going on the road in Chicago with that front.
Right.
You know, they felt good about Lane being there. Obviously, he had his issues, but a lot of people did against the Bears. So what I was going to say, Tom, was 2-0. So this is just the fifth time in the Aaron Rodgers era that the Packers have started 2-0.
Is that right?
The last time was 2015.
Okay.
The time before that was 2011. 15-1, 2010, of course, and then 2008, when they only won four more games. So they have run the gamut on 2-0 from 6-10 to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that'll let you can glean from all of that
information. Yeah, I figured. Although 2-0 gets people excited because we're going to see all the stats this week, Tom. How you get a whatever percentage chance of going to the postseason when you're 2-0. And hey, look, this team won 13 games over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So to start like this, in whatever fashion, under new head coach, you know, the defense is confident. You've got the corners saying that they're best tandem in the league, that they feel that good about themselves. So they're riding high.
Okay. Well, they haven't faced Joe Flacco yet.
Right.
What a great stretch for them to face Trubisky, Cousins, and Flacco.
Yeah.
You couldn't ask for a better start if you're Mike Pettine.
Right.
And then it gets tough.
Yeah.
You know, then you start facing Carson Wentz and Phillip Rivers. Who else?
Even on the road in Dallas, where, you know, that run game creates an interesting pass game. So, you know, they'll need that confidence. But, hey, you know, Packers get it done, video boards and all.
Yeah. So the first of three games in 11 days.
Yeah, and that's, that the health thing will be something to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of, it's an early season Thursday, which I know players like. They know they're going to have to play an extra Thursday game in season. Every team does. And they just hope it's early.
Yeah.
And while it may not be in the first quarter of the season, you know, it is early enough that they can use that mini bye.
Plus they had that 10-day rest,
right,
you know, after this,
right,
you know, after the Chicago game. So,
yeah. So 2-0. We will, Tom and I, we will talk to you in a few days as we look forward to the Packers hosting the Denver Broncos
and Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
All right.
Another slugfest.
Yep.
All right. So, again, this podcast brought to you by our friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino.
That's right.
We thank you for listening. For Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you soon.